Okay, today we're going to be starting a new chapter. We're moving into chapter 3, which is exciting. And Paul's going to continue the same theme, justification in and through Christ alone. But in this portion, not today's portion, but probably in 3 weeks, we'll start looking at the first of 3 or 4 questions that Paul asked, actually a little bit more. He actually starts asking the Galatians questions, which the answers are obvious, but I love it because it makes them look inward. It makes them look to who they're looking to. Are they looking to their flesh or are they looking to Christ, right? Which is important for us. That's when the scriptures tells us to examine if we're in the faith. Examine who's the object of your faith, right? Is it Christ and him alone, or is it Christ with something you do? Because if it's with Christ and something you do, then that's a false faith, right? But if it's in Christ alone, oh, what a sure hope we have, beloved. It's wonderful. What a sure hope we have. So again, we're seeing Paul bringing forth that salvation is in Christ alone, by faith alone, apart from works, any works of ours. And Paul's going to ask again the Galatians several questions. We're going to see that as we read the text in context. We'll see that he asks several questions, setting before the Galatians the fact that salvation is of the Lord, that it's not of our flesh, it's not of our will, it's not by anything we do, but it's like the scripture says, not by might nor power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. He's the one. He's the one that regenerates us. He's the one that gives us faith to believe on Christ. And salvation is apart from what's called law works. Law works. It's apart from the works of the law. And it's also apart from any other works we would do. So law works would be, again, the Ten Commandments and all the Mosaic Law. And then any other works, they don't count either. Cannot be saved by our works. So let's read. I want us to read starting in verse 19 of chapter 2 and going all the way to verse 9. Now we're going to get the full context of our verse today, which will be verse 1. And we're going to split the verse up. We're going to look at the first in the middle part of this verse today. And then the latter part of the verse we'll look at next week. So let's start in verse 19. We see here that the Holy Spirit has had Paul pen down these words. And may God the Holy Spirit, the true author of these words, may he teach us. May he illuminate the scriptures, like Brother Jim said, so that we can apply it to our lives. Right? Each day, beloved. You know, I love what he said in verse 19, that I might live unto God. See, there is true practical Christianity, isn't there? We don't go out and do whatever we want. No, we live our lives now unto God. We're born again by the Holy Spirit of God. We're new creatures in Christ. So let's read what's here. He says, "For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God." Oh, and every believer wants to live unto God. Well, that's what we desire. "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." We know that crucifixion is a spiritual crucifixion. We were in Christ at Calvary's cross. "But Christ liveth in me, in the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." That's a part to underline right there. Christ loved me, and he gave his life for me. Every believer can say that. Say, that's talking about me. And then he says, "I do not frustrate." Well, last week we looked at that as void in the Greek. To make void. He says, "I do not make void the grace of God. For if righteousness," which we looked at last week again in the Greek, means justification, "come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain." Why did he die then? If we can work our way to heaven, why did Christ die? That's what Paul's bringing forth. And remember, again, the true author who's setting this before us is God the Holy Spirit. Right? And in our verse today, "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you?" So there's the first question. And he continues with several more questions here. Oh, foolish Galatians. Oh, I'm sorry. This what I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? There's the second question. Again, he asks another one. And see, all these questions are bringing them to look to Christ. To look inward and go, who am I trusting? Am I trusting my own works? Because if I'm trusting my own works, I'm doomed. He's told me that in chapter 1, right? He's told us that in chapter 1. Look at this. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? See, that's what that religion wants, to be perfect by the flesh. They haven't begun by the Spirit. They're not born again, but they want to be perfect by the flesh. I'll tell you what, it is impossible for us to be perfect by anything we do. We are sinful beings. Sinful beings. Have you suffered so many things in vain? If it be yet in vain, so they'd suffered for their faith. He just keeps asking questions. Here's the next one. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth it he by works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Well, my, that one don't even need an answer, does it? That's so obvious, isn't it? It's so obvious. It's so obvious. We can't save ourselves. He's told us that. He's told us that earlier. And remember again, the true author of these words is God, the Holy Spirit. So he's setting these questions before the Galatian believers. He's setting it before them. Verse 6, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith are the same as the same are the children of Abraham? Oh my, we're going to look into that a little bit more down the road too. That's just incredible. In the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, that's me, that's you, right? Through faith. Preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Now think of that. It says, in thee shall all nations be blessed, right? God's people are out of what? Every tribe, kindred, tongue, and nation. Look at that. Isn't that amazing? I love that. It's just so incredible. When you start to see the pieces going together, it's just absolutely amazing. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. So our verse today will be verse 1. And Paul writes to the Galatians. Now remember, this church is very dear to him, right? He's the one who went there and preached the gospel to them. He's the instrument that God used to bring them to Christ, right? They were brought to Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit, but by him preaching the gospel, right? He was used by God. He was used by God to have them to go and preach the gospel to them. And they were heathens. The Galatians, again, as we looked at the beginning of the message, and I saw it brought forth by another commentator this week too, they were of Celtic descent. They were of Celtic descent. They were very superstitious. And they could be easily swayed by new things that popped up. They were very interested in all finding out a new thing. And so, and I think a lot of that came from their background of worshiping various gods too. Worshiping various gods. So they're easily swayed that way as a people. Now the doctrine of God's amazing grace teaches us that the death of Jesus Christ secured our salvation. Secured our salvation. The salvation of all those who were chosen in him in eternity. Christ secured our salvation. So with that, let's read this here. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth? We're going to look at what's the truth. Well, the truth is the gospel. Now note something. A commentator brought this forth. I thought this was fantastic. It doesn't say you've not believed. He's not saying they're unbelievers. He's saying you just haven't obeyed it. You're being swayed. Isn't that neat? I like that. I like that because he's not saying, well, you're wrote off. He's saying you've not obeyed. The truth has been evidently set before you. Christ and him crucified is the only way of salvation. And now you're being swayed by these Judaizers. I thought that was a really neat point because, you know, we can all be tossed to and fro. All of us are susceptible to that. And we who are the born-again, blood-washed saints of God, we've had revealed to us, and we believe by God-given faith that Jesus Christ is the Savior. He's the Savior of sinners. And that because he's God, he cannot fail. And so look what it says here. Before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set before you, or set forth, crucified among you. So what did Paul, we're going to do a separate message on that, and what I want to do is go through all the places where Paul talks about Christ being crucified and him preaching Christ and him crucified. And I want us to look at those portions where Paul brings that forth, because that was paramount in his preaching, right? And it's paramount in every gospel preaching that we set forth Christ and him crucified. Another thing, Norm Wells and I have been talking about this, and you hear me talk about it all the time, and I think it should be talked about more, is regeneration by the Holy Spirit of God. You must be born again. It's a must. It's a must. Right? You must be born again. It's vital. It's absolutely vital. You must be born again. So if God is, if Christ is God, and he is, then he cannot fail, can he? So what Paul is doing is he says, I've set forth before you Christ and him crucified. I've set forth before you the truth. The truth. And we have learned, not by our own learning, but we've learned because the Holy Spirit of God has taught us and has illuminated the scriptures for us. And that's my prayer every time I preach the gospel, is God, please illuminate the scriptures. Holy Spirit, please illuminate the scriptures so that we might learn and grow. Not to boast, right? But to be in awe of who Christ is. To be in awe of how wonderful he is. And we've learned by the Holy Spirit teaching us that Jesus Christ was delivered for our offenses, right? We were under the law. He redeemed us out from under the law. He's delivered for our offenses, which means he's delivered for our sins. My sins. My sins. And praise God, he's raised for our justification. See, he's sinless. He's spotless. He's the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. He's perfect in every way. He obeyed the law perfectly for us. Then the wrath of God that fell upon him will never fall upon us. Never. Because it fell upon our substitute, beloved. That's why at the great white judgment throne we are separated. And we hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Well, was I ever good and faithful? No, I'm not good at all. And we're like that. I am anyways. We're like all over the board. But he's faithful, isn't he? That's what matters the most. He's faithful. He's faithful. Oh, it's wonderful. And we've learned not only have we been justified and redeemed, but that Jesus Christ himself purged our sins. They're so far gone from God's sight that God himself says, I don't remember your sins no more. Oh, hallelujah. That's the best news this sinner's ever heard. So for you, it's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. So we praise God also that we're reconciled to God by the death of his son, by the blood of Christ. We're saved from the wrath to come. We're saved from the wrath to come. You want to know something really neat? Turn a couple pages over here, or forward. This is just, if I can find it here. This is just outstanding. Where is that? Let's see here. Ah, yeah. You know, when you want to find something, you can't find it, right? Oh, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9. Look at this. This is absolutely amazing. This is stunning. I'll tell you what. Let this just burn into your heart. Look at this. See, Christ took all the wrath of God that was due us, right? Look at this. For God hath not appointed us to wrath. He's not appointed that his wrath would fall upon us. Isn't that amazing? But look at this. but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Woo! That's good news. Our wrath that was due us was appointed by God to fall on Christ. That is amazing grace. That is amazing mercy. So that had been set forth before the Galatians, beloved. And that's why Paul's saying, now you're starting to listen to these Judaizers. You're not obeying the truth. The truth is Christ died for your sins. And he's been evidently set forth before you. Christ and him crucified. And because Jesus lives, right? We're going to live, aren't we? We're saved by his life and by his death. Therefore, who shall lay any charge to God's elect? Anything. It's God that justifieth, beloved. It's absolutely wonderful. We've been justified because of the perfect redeeming work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's read our verse again. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? Now the Apostle Paul, in Galatians 2:21, our closing verse for last week's study, he said, I do not frustrate, or we saw in the Greek, void the grace of God. Right? For if righteousness, which was justification, we found out before God, come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Now, we could put anything of man's doing in that verse, and it would not change the meaning. If righteousness, salvation, come by baptism, church affiliation, meeting on Saturday, our free will, Abraham's natural future generations, people of noble birth, or any act performed by man, then Christ is dead in vain. Serious business, isn't it? And remember who the true author is. It's God the Holy Spirit that had Paul pen those words. My, oh my, beloved. True saving faith embraces the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who we embrace. He's the object of our faith. He's the lover of our souls, beloved. My, he's our everything. And see the word foolish in our text? It signifies senselessness. Senseless. An unworthy lack of understanding. And the false teachers had come in privately to unawares, as we saw, and they'd spewed their poison, hadn't they? They'd spewed their poison after Paul had left. And the saints in Galatia area were fascinated by the false teachers' claims, who claimed to be followers of Christ, and yet they were nothing but false teachers. And the Galatians started to look to themselves, started to look to their own actions, started to look to works performed by the flesh. They'd been bewitched. My, oh my. Therefore, they started to look to themselves. They were looking away from the perfect, finished work of Christ that had been evidently set before them in the preaching of Christ and him crucified. They were looking away from the perfect, sin-atoning work of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he doesn't say, you haven't believed that. He just says, you haven't obeyed it right now.
See, Paul still has hope for the Galatian church, doesn't he? That's why he writes this letter. They allowed these wicked men to fill their minds with doctrines that turned their eye of faith away from the Lord Jesus Christ. And these false teachers are with us today, men who claim to be followers of Jesus Christ, but in reality, they are led by the spirit of Antichrist. Beware of them. Mark them, brethren. Christ has not been revealed to them. Therefore, they do not know the truth. They do not know the truth. They cannot obey the truth. If one cannot does not know the truth, you can't obey the truth. And those who are bewitched by them are just as guilty of not obeying the truth. Any man who... Henry Mahan said this. Any man is foolish who leaves Christ to go to Moses, who leaves the gospel of grace to go to the working of the law, who leaves the doctrine of free justification, which gives peace and comfort, to go to the law, which can only condemn. See, all the law can do is condemn us. That's all it can do. It can just condemn us. My, oh my. And bewitched there is they're under a spell, beloved. They're under a spell. Who hath bewitched you? O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you? So we see the Apostle Paul use these words in the second portion of the text, that ye should not obey the truth. So what is meant here by the truth? It's the gospel, beloved. It's the gospel. Often so called in opposition to the law and the types and shadows of it, because it's contained all through the scriptures, isn't it? All the Old Testament pictures and types pointed to one person, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. In the scriptures is the truth of God, isn't it? Given to us. My, oh my. And we are justified in Christ alone. He alone is our righteousness, beloved. We can never be justified or become righteous by law works, can we? See the contrast that he's setting forth here? One cannot be justified by law works or by any works we do. One can only be justified in Christ, in him alone. This is the heart of the gospel, beloved. This is the heart of the gospel, justification in Christ. Because if we could justify ourselves, then why did Christ come? We can't. We can't justify ourselves. So these false teachers, they've not changed. They come with smooth words and enticing words. They've been proclaiming a false gospel of man's works to the Galatians. And they say, oh, that Apostle Paul there, he's not even preaching the gospel. He's not preaching the gospel. See, that happens. I just heard recently of another church where some folks left, same thing. They said, well, that preacher's not preaching the gospel. I listened to that preacher, he's preaching the gospel. What in the world? My. But that's the same excuse that people use every single time. And it's so sad, beloved. It's so sad. It's just terrible. And these false teachers, they come with smooth words, beloved. And they attack. See, they can't attack the master. So they get at the messenger, and they try to attack the message. But God preserves both the message and the messenger, beloved. And he does that, doesn't he? It's absolutely amazing. Now, these Galatians, they not only heard the truth, but they embraced it, beloved. They believed it. They received it. The love of it. They were strongly affected by it. That's why Paul says here that you don't obey the truth. He didn't say you didn't believe it. He just said you're not obeying it. Your ears are being tickled by these false teachers over here. My. They're born again. They've received God-given faith. But they've removed their eyes from the one who is the true object of their faith. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know, as our, as born-again, blood-washed believers living in this world, the moment we get our eyes off Christ, we get in trouble, don't we? The moment we start looking to ourselves, even to fix a situation. I don't know why I haven't learned that I can't fix situations. Maybe it's just part of being a man. I don't know. Right? Because we men are fixers, right? But I need to learn that I can't fix these situations. God's going to take care of it all for me. And that's not, we talked about this before, that's not a fatalistic kind of, oh well, you know, why should I preach the gospel because God's elect? Well, I preach the gospel because God commands me to preach the gospel. Right? And that's the means that he uses to draw his sheep in. Right? My, oh my. So it's not a fatalistic kind of thing. No, not at all. It's just the, I need to let go. I'm not in control. Right? And we're all in the same boat, aren't we? That's why you're all smiling, because we're all in the same boat. Oh my. Isn't it wonderful how we can all share in that, beloved, and just be honest with each other? My. So they're born again. They've received faith from God, but they've removed their eyes from the one who's the true object of saving faith. And they've listened to these false teachers, even entertaining some of what the things they've said. Even entertaining some of those things. My, even though what they proclaim was totally against the gospel. See, the flesh, the flesh, the flesh. I had a dear brother text me this week, and this was a marvelous text. He said, oh, if I could only learn. It was Brother Marcus. He said, oh, if I could only learn that God controls every speck in this universe and rest in that. And then he said, oh, the flesh. That's so true, isn't it? I looked at that and went, that's one of the most marvelous texts I've ever received. Because that's me. Is it you? That's me. Oh, if I could just keep that at the forefront of my mind, beloved. My. And so because of these false teachers, they began to doubt what Paul had taught. They began to doubt what Paul had evidently set forth before them, which is the true gospel, that salvation's in Christ and him alone. And again, this is the same tactic that's even used today. Satan uses these tactics to cause trouble in churches, to cast doubt upon the message that's being preached and being proclaimed. And that's what really these false teachers had done, right? Because they had cast doubt on the fact that Paul said, Christ has been evidently set before you, crucified. And now they're casting doubt, saying, well, you have to be circumcised along with faith in Christ to be saved, you see? And remember, Vicki and I were talking about it again this week, and Tom had brought it up a few months ago. Remember, we always have to remember the environment that this is occurring in, right? So the world is ripe with idols, right? Multiple God worship is all over the place. And here's the truth being set forth before them. Right? And the only way we can see the truth is the same way, the only way they could see the truth is if it was revealed to them. So they've had the truth revealed to them. But now these false teachers start tickling their ears, saying, well, there might be something you have to do. And see, men, we're wired to do something, aren't we? You ever beat yourself up because you don't read the Bible enough or don't pray enough? You ever beat yourself? Don't beat yourself up. Just cry out to the Lord. Just cry out to the Lord. See, that's all that work stuff. That leftover grave clothes that we have, beloved. Right? My, oh my, I'll tell you what. It's hard enough for me just to rest in Christ, let alone. Right? Oh. So these Galatians, they've been bewitched by the false teachers. They are now wavering in their faith. So let's read this verse again. Oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. So again, what is meant by the truth being set forth? Well, it's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here are some things which are set before us when the gospel's preached. When the truth is set before us, then Christ is set forth in the gospel as the great propitiation provided by God for the sins of his people. By which God's righteousness might appear in the remission of sins. Turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 3. We'll go to Romans 3, then we'll go to Romans 5 with the next question. Then we'll go to Romans 8 after that. Christ is set forth. Every time the gospel is preached, Christ is set forth as the propitiation for sinners. Right? The one true, perfect sacrifice, the Lamb of God. Remember God had told, or Abraham said, God will provide himself a lamb? He provided himself as a lamb, didn't he? See? That which was prophesied in the Old Testament came to pass, didn't it? He did provide himself as a lamb. That was God himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at this in Romans chapter 3, verses 24 to 25. Being justified freely by his grace. Oh, wonderful words. Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed to the forbearance of God. So remember I said propitiation and righteousness is set forth. God's propitiation and God's righteousness is set forth. Look at verse 26. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness. His righteousness. See, that's what we're clothed in. Christ's righteousness. That he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. He's both a just God and he's our justifier. So his law has to be fulfilled. He does it himself. Oh my. What a Savior. And then another thing that's set forth when the truth is set forth before us, then Christ is set forth as the great manifestation of God's divine love to sinners. Turn, if you would, to chapter 5. And look what it says here in verses 8 and 9. Now, God's love is great, isn't it? We can't even measure it. It's immeasurable towards his people. And look what it says here. And now let this sink in, beloved. Let this just sink into your hearts today. But God commandeth his love toward us. So he's writing to believers, isn't he? God commandeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Wonder of wonders. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath. Remember, we're not appointed to wrath. Saved from wrath through him. Through Christ. Not through anything we do. But all through Christ. Now turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 3. When the truth of the gospel is set forth before us, then Christ is set forth in the gospel as affording the strongest proof of God's displeasure against sin. God hates sin. Oh, he's holy. He can't be around. He can't be around sin. Look at this, Romans 8:3. For what the law could not do, so this is something that the law couldn't do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Well, hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? He did that for you. He did that for me, beloved. That's why he condemned sin. It's gone. It's gone. Also, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, turn, if you would, to John chapter 1 quickly. We'll just be finished here. When the truth is set before us, then Christ is crucified. Then Christ crucified is set before us as the only foundation of a sinner's hope. We have no other hope to be saved from our sins except by the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have any other hope, do we? We have none. Absolutely no other hope. Look at this, John 1:29. John seeth Jesus coming unto him and say, Behold, the Lamb of God. There he is. That's one of his titles, the Lamb of God. What does he do? Which taketh away the sin of the world. Oh, he takes away the sins of all his people, doesn't he? Gone. So far gone that God says, I don't remember your sins anymore. Isn't that wonderful, brother? He don't remember our sins. Gone. Sister, they're gone. This is wonderful news, isn't it? Wonderful. Then turn over to John chapter 3. Now we know John chapter 3:16, wonderful verse. Wonderful verse. But the gospel is in verses 14 and 15. The true gospel is in verses 14 and 15. And this is what's set before people during the preaching of the gospel. Because Christ is set forth, right, as the only Savior of sinners. He's lifted up as the only Savior of sinners. Look at this. John 3, 14 and 15. Remember, he's still talking to Nicodemus here, too. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. Do you believe in Christ? Have you believed in Christ? Has God given you faith to believe in Christ? If the answer is yes, then the scripture says here, we have eternal life. Oh my. So beloved of God, Christ is the gospel. To preach the gospel is to preach Christ. To preach Christ. Christ is the truth. To preach the truth, you preach Christ. The gospel of God is not a complex mystery, but it's the revelation of God. We don't know it unless he reveals it to us. And the revelation is given in simple, clear, unmistakable words. One body, right? One spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one mediator, one thing needful. That's Christ, right? The way, the truth, and the life. And his name is the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Savior of sinners. The only one.